Dalton never did get close to Mother. And I think it's because, well, she was a very secretive girl and everything. You'd have to go tell her. Where Gladys and I felt the same about Mother. We always talked things over. And Mother come to me and said, "What is going on? Can I help her? I can't help her if I don't know what's the matter."
She won't talk to me.
Anyway, each child is different in a family and stuff, you never know. But I thought I would just mention just a little bit of, about some of the polygamy part. Oh, and then Jensen, when he did come several times after that and took, they drew the
spinal
fluid off of the brain, but they go through the spine.
A spinal tap?
Yeah, about that long a needle.
Oh, 6 inch long needle.
Anyway, now I was gonna, well, about his being.
You mentioned the polygamy.
Well, I know where they kept the records about marriage.
Well, but I was going to say that when Conrad did come and treat Mother several times, she said, "I'm afraid I'm going out on mine." And he said, "No, you're not." She thought she was. And Gladys would tell you, I had to learn, and so did she, how to cook meat, pot roast, without any salt in it. We had to coddle the eggs, and he took me out on the coal range and showed me how to coddle eggs. I'd tried a lot of eggs, but not that way. Anyway, she couldn't have salt with that either. And Mother said, "I won't eat any of this if it wasn't because I thought it'd get me well." And so she thought, you know, she would in time, because she'd had a lot of illnesses in her life.
Towards the end, she...
Well, Dad would make this mistake. See, Mother had always been strong and taken care of the family while anybody was sick, or Dad was sick, but he wasn't too sick when he was at our place. But if he did, he had to have attention all the time. And I went to him. Mother told me to go in and see what he wanted. And I said, "Mother, he don't want me." She says, "I know it, but I'm busy." But he had a very bad cold in his chest, but he lived through it a long time after that. But anyway, I was going to say that Jensen said that this nervous condition that Mother had, he thought this in exile business was the basis of all the problems that built up. But so what you do all your life is don't worry. Now, I don't know how you're going to not.
You pay for it in your own
age.
Not
do it. It comes. But anyway, I thought, I meant to tell when I was telling you about President Woodruff at the Manti Temple, how people broke in. Well, the same, see, St. George was first, Logan, and then the Manti Temple. The Salt Lake Temple wasn't ready for 40 years. They were working on it, but they had the endowment house. But outside of every of these three temples, they had, now I don't know, it was a little house or just a big room, because they never explained, except when they got in there, there was a sheet across. And that's where they were married. Because see, in plural marriage, they all had their garments, endowments, before they came to this. And all they did is marry Masilam.
I see.
Or do it afterwards. So that is why we've had others, and I've had even some of our relatives write to Logan. And Logan says, "We have no record
of her being married there."
Of ever being married. So then I happened to go, and this before I found out what about it. But anyway, I happened to, and moved here, and I went over to Barnes, and Hetty said, "Here's a letter showing that you're all illegitimate, even in the church." And I said, "We're not." There was no law when they got married. The law came afterwards. But anyway, she says, I'm going to take this over to Della. I don't know what she thought she was coming. And I think I told them later, but I'm not sure. So maybe they don't. So I think all the Belknaps should know, or anybody in polygamy, that those, at this time later, they were renovating all of Nauvoo, Illinois, the different homes. Mm-hmm. And so Della had some ledgers and some things from Vince and Knight, and he had written them. He evidently took care of the records of storehouse, and he wrote minutes for a lot of their meetings and the times and season that they published then. So anyway, she took her stuff down in this one ledger and showed it to, and I think his name was Dyer. I could be wrong because it's been a long time ago.
Is it Edgar T. Lyon?
Dyer, I thought she
no,
said.
No, at first it was a Dyer or something that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know where she went, but to one of the church offices. And she showed him this ledger, and Joseph Smith and two or three others, I guess when they got stuff, had signed their names in it. She showed it to him, and he wanted to keep it. And Della wouldn't let him have it. He says, well, will you let me copy it? And she said, yes. So he copied it, and she sat and waited. And another time, Zeruah Lowe
mm-hmm.
came down with Della, because she had a quilt that Martha McBride Knight had quilted, and all by hand, all small pieces. And she said to preserve it, she was going to put it on a quilt, because it had just been folded. And she had brought it down to our Relief Society on one Founders Day for the Relief Society. But anyway, they took this, and Della was telling this fellow about, they wanted to know if there's ever records of what happened, because the temples did not seem to have them, and they were bawling them out. And he said, there is a place for all plural marriages in the archives, just one spot, one place.
Hmm.
And right now, he said, they're not letting anybody in. So he says, they will let me and certain ones that are writing up for histories and things. So I'll go and I'll check for you. And before he could do that, he died.
Oh.
So whoever took over Nauvoo afterwards, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I was telling this at one of our Daughter Pioneer meetings, and one of the ladies there who has a background of plural, a little farther away than ours, but, and I told her that it, they were there, but they wouldn't let us see it. And she said they will now, because she did a lot of research work, as well as teach it and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And she said with a recommend, she got a chance to see hers. So there are records kept. And one good reason I think they didn't have it at the temple, because anybody could rush in and take the records, and the names on those records, they'd make hell for them.
They could arrest them all
in jail. These.
Yeah.
And, and what they do with the women, they hounded them. And that's why Mother tried to stay away so much at this time, especially after she had children, so as not to have it. Well, I thought I ought to make that explanation.
There is a record that she was married to.
So there was a small building attached to the Logan Temple.
I don't know whether it was attached. It's by
or
it.
Or nearby.
It's by it, because they had to climb the hill through the snow, but there didn't go any road. And it's a hill right up to the temple.
And it was in that small building.
Yes.
Nearby that Hiram and
where it is. But I never thought to ask them, you know, what the building looked like. All we want to know was the inside, and they had this across.
Hmm.
So I thought when you let others hear it, that they ought to know that. And maybe someday they can look at or go. I don't know where the church has their archives. Maybe you know. They got a lot of offices the church has. Anyway, that is what I want to tell you about that. But I thought one thing I would like to say, because after Mother died, and Gladys got married, they moved, they were living in Salt Lake, she and Emma, and they came to Ogden, and they stayed with Dad on Madison till they found a place. So while there, Dad told Gladys that Mother had always complained about how lonesome she was. She was sick with it. He says, I couldn't understand it. I was so busy making a living and working in the church and political behind the scenes. But he says, now I know.
And he cried and cried. I'm so lonesome now.
But to see it was too late to help Mother.
It was only after she died that he realized.
Oh, yes. This wasn't too long before he died.
Well, he lived 7 years after Mother died.
Yes, dear. But when you went and stayed with him on Madison.
Oh, yeah.
Because, see, Della was there. And Della was only there the last years of
I know,
dad's
I was 26 years old and he died, and well, we come back to Ogden to live in.
Well, that's what I told him. You were looking for a house.
Your mother passed away in May, and your father was living at 2045 Madison.
No, at first he stayed right there at 904, but he did take his turn going back because Flora was still around.
Okay.
Now, Flora had a home of her own that Dad had deeded to her, which she was getting money off of.
I see.
And he was there. Oh, I don't know. He and Byron were together over the lumber company. Uh-huh. Who was it said that Byron don't remember that?
Gordon said that Byron didn't remember
yeah.
that.
Yeah, well, because they did. Because he said that, and Byron told me this himself, but you see, it was soon after that he went up when he got through at the lumber company, and there was Dad sitting on the floor across the wall from the range. Is it the end?
No, it's still okay.
And there was Dad sitting on the floor. Well, he turned the gas on the oven, and I guess it took him a long time. Dad had never been around gas.
Well, and he couldn't see him with the darn.
That's true. He couldn't see. Anyway, he lit it, and it blew him clear across the room.
Wow.
Or threw him, or... And he sat there and he cried because he was so mad to think he let a little thing like that throw him out. So I know darn well Byron stayed with him for a while, but
he did.
Eventually, he decided to buy 904.
Byron did.
And so he went there, so Dad went to 2149 Madison.
2149.
And that's where he still has his name on the building.
Yes, we
they
saw it last week.
Uh-huh.
Still there.
Yeah. Well, they took the turret off. There was a room where Dad had all these boxes of records and stuff. And, well, anyway, before all that happened, while Mother was still alive, I think my dad could have saved himself a lot of frustration, and Mother and all of our family, if he just once had gone to a store with Mother to see what things cost. Because when she'd ask for money to go shopping for the family, maybe he'd give her that amount, maybe he wouldn't. So one time, near school time, there was just the four of us kids at home, the older ones were gone. She asked him for $30 to get stuffed so they could start the school.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he thought it was too darn much. He cuts off 10 bucks to 20 and she sat down and cried. What could she do with $20 for four kids?
Hmm.
A pair of shoes was $5 at that time. I don't think my dad could have lived in the way prices are now. I don't think he could. But anyway, and then to just before that, he would insist that Mother bring the sales slips from the store. Now, it'd take at least a nickel to take down, go on the streetcar to town,
mm-hmm.
and maybe if she wanted to buy paper or toothpaste or anything, they wouldn't be on these sales slips. Well, anyway, after Dad went and gave her this 30 and she exploded, she said, "You children have got to go to Dad yourself, wear clothing or anything that you need. I cannot do it anymore, because I can't do it with the money." And see, that could have made it a lot pleasanter in the home if Dad had understood or believed her. And even at the very last, he told Gladys, "Your mother was a lovely cook, just wonderful, but she didn't know how to handle money."
Hmm.
He never gave her a chance. She had the purse strings so darn tight.
If he only knew how thrifty she was with the money.
Yes, she was thrifty. She was a beautiful sore, and she, oh, of course, being one of the youngest, I got a lot of hand-me-downs.
Me too.